Welcome to episode 10 of Danger Town. We are a Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition real play podcast. Basically, we just play D&D and record it. Does everyone remember what happened last time on Danger Town? It took a while to get there, but quite a bit actually happened. Because the whole Dwarven City basically went from being controlled to not being controlled.
We did it. We're going to get our money, and because no one's going to be the wiser.
Wait a second. That dumb, stupid king freaking died.
We also, as a team, stole some poison. Wyvern poison. And then replaced it with non-wyvern poison.
Dun dun dun.
Essentially, last week, you all decided to go into town and attempt to stop the food from being poisoned. Through some very Scooby-Doo-ish antics, you managed to make that happen. As a result, most of the city appears to have been freed. When you went down to the keep, there was a whole bunch of fighting as the wardens were fighting off anybody who was still being controlled. You went in to go see the king, and the king actually died. But before he died, he told you to seek the Great Star. Through Braum's sending stone, Ruby relays directions to you to work your way up this long, intricate series of tunnels, and you're kind of spiraling up almost like a staircase.
Whoa.
And you work your way up, and you've gone so far up, it feels like you should be like reaching the surface. And it turns, and you start moving towards what you think would be the city. But the tunnels just keep going and going and going, and As you continue on, you approach what appears to be a finely carved doorway. You've got these two giant stone doors, not as giant as the 100-foot door in the front, but it's about 15 feet tall. It's pretty solid.
That's not quite as big of a door, but it's still a pretty good-sized door. Does this door have handles?
This door does have handles.
I'm going to push a handle.
I'm gonna pull the other one.
I was gonna
we'll
say.
See which one works.
Okay, so we got one push and one pull.
And I will strum my ukulele dramatically.
I'm ready to catch anything that
with
falls
the
out of the
dramatic door. Ukulele strumming. Swanson pushes, Trax pulls, and the door pulls open.
Yes!
Damn it!
Swanson pushes, but it does nothing.
Oh.
Trax pulls.
I just motioned to the door, like, after you, and just, like, kind of stare into his eyes.
Yeah, all right, congratulations, you're good at doors.
You enter a large circular room, and the room contains living quarters, a nice bed, a large apothecary desk. It's covered with dried plants and potions, and a great deal of treasure seems to lie on almost every surface, especially there's a large pile of what looks to be gold coins and rubies and such things to your left.
What?
Fuck me sideways.
Don't I go to the dried plants.
Anything. Don't touch anything.
Oh, I love you,
what?
Karina.
What?
I love you. There's some dried plants and just a giant pile of treasure. Oh my god. Dried plants!
Some fucking plants.
You don't even know.
They need to be watered and I'm the only person who can do it.
So I assume all of you enter the room, right?
Oh, we're all up in this room.
Yeah.
Okay, so
the door is swing shut. Huh?
No, the desk and the bed and such are on your right. The big pile of treasures on the left. In the center, there is the largest diamond you have ever seen.
You know, guys, I've seen a lot of shit in my day, but I ain't never seen this.
Can I get a perception check from everyone?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I got a 6. That diamond is just drawn my gaze in.
I got a 13.
Apparently it's drawn all our gazes in.
I also got a 6.
We're not looking anywhere but at that giant fucking diamond.
We're
I got
all
a 9.
A boo from Aladdin right now.
Alright, so the four of you enter the room, and there doesn't appear to be anything else in this room. You got the giant diamond in the center.
There's a giant fucking diamond.
Yeah, that's really got your attention.
Anything else that could possibly be in this room?
We fucked.
Is the diamond like sitting on the floor, or is it like suspended, or is it in like a chalice?
So the diamond is embedded. It's embedded in the floor, and around it there appears to be a steel ring that's been forged around the diamond, around its midsection. So it looks like about half of it is sticking up above ground, and the other half would be down into the ground. It's very much mounted there. Do you want to investigate it a little bit further?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna put my hand on it.
We all get teleported. All
right.
And then we have a second tattoo.
Trax, you walk up and you put your hand on this diamond and you look closely at it. And it's actually incredibly clear, like clearer than any other diamond you've ever seen. Through the diamond, you're actually able to see the city below. And the room that you're in is pretty, like, it's very dimly lit. So it's not bright at all. And you see at the top of this diamond, which stands, like, right about your head height, if you're on, like, your tippy toes tracks.
Oh, boy.
You can see at the top, there's this, another little iron circle. And there's what appears to be a candle that's been blown out sitting there.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna light one of my arrows on fire and hit it.
Can you roll a dexterity check for me?
Six! Fuck.
Oofa doofa.
So you shoot your flaming arrow, and it pauses in midair.
What?
And it stands, and it hovers in front of you and sort of turns over and then falls to the ground.
Okay, so it's not like picking up speed,
and in front of you appears a handsome sorcerer.
Fuck.
Oh,
kill him. Gut him.
Silver fox over
got
here.
Him. Can I gut him? Can we gut him?
This sorcerer in his hand holds a dark staff with a red gem embedded in it. He wears a red cloak, and he has this short blue hair in a sweet undercut. And you notice around his neck is an imperial symbol.
Oh, man.
Kill him.
I don't like
do
the
I,
look
do
I ready, I ready dat axe dough.
And he drops the arrow to the ground, and he looks at the four of you and says, I could have ambushed you. Consider that an olive branch. I wish to speak to you.
Okay.
Be ready, dat axe dough.
What do you have to say? But just know, I already don't trust you. Just know that.
Yeah, that's pretty universal here.
Trax, you're pretty close to him because you're right next to the diamond versus the other three are still pretty close to the door.
Yeah.
Where are you guys settling?
I walk up behind Trax. Yeah.
Well, the minute Sorcerer Man appears, I'm definitely taking a few more steps closer.
So, Val, are you kind of sticking behind the group? Or
yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm hanging back.
He looks at you and he says, my name is Kaldur, and you may be able to guess what I'm doing here, but I don't think you know why.
I don't want to play guessing games, so you either tell us or, you know, death.
Yeah, I gotta back up Mika here, because frankly, my friend, we've had a hell of a day here,
yeah.
So just, could you just cut with the games and just level with us?
He kind of turns to the pile of treasure and stuff, and he looks back at you and says, well, this mine represents quite an interest for the Empire. And when the Dwarves of Red Mountain decided to stop trading, well, I was...
You decided that your personal interest was more important than their autonomy.
I couldn't hear what he said. You were talking.
My interest.
The royal you, literally. Because, the prince.
Kaldur takes his staff and he kind of fiddles with the gem with one of his hands, and he says,
"Hey, what are you doing there, guy? I really want to try to talk this out, but my instinct right now, I kind of just want to kill you. That's how I'm feeling about this right now. But I shouldn't be in charge, so you know.
If you kill me, you may be killing everyone in Tarawan.
What does that even mean? You crippling son of a bitch."
Would you care to elaborate, glowy staff man?
I was commanded here because Demacus only values a few things in Tarawan, and one of them is the wealth that this mountain provides. If this mountain stops providing for him, he may raise the entire continent.
That sounds like you're really shifting accountability. Like, if you don't do exactly what I want, you're forcing me to do horrible things. That doesn't really hold up as a philosophy.
He's a god. What else could I do?
Okay. Hey, Cal.
Now can we kill him?
Hey, Cal Durr. So listen, thank you. I'm not from here, so I don't know what this, like, child king thinks he can do, but I'm from a land where we actually have tough, fun motherfuckers. So how about you just give us everything back, and we don't have to have a fight, and we don't have to worry about your god or whatever.
You see, you can make me suffer for a day.
I'm already knocking an arrow.
But Demacus can make me suffer for all of eternity.
Wait, hold up. Let me ask one thing. If we protect you from Demacus, will you pull your head out of your ass?
You're not close enough to fist bump, but just know it's waiting.
Yeah, it's a fist bump. You actually technically have to be within 5 feet. So.
I know, that's why I said just know it's waiting.
That's on page 387 of the Player's Handbook. Is the fist bumping.
It's actually in Xanathar's. Yeah.
Fist bumps cost one bronze piece.
It's a rogue thing.
How would you protect me from a god?
Well, frankly,
we would just kill you, and then you would be protected.
He's
from
just a big old man child. Like, I don't know what I have to protect you from. Like, he's got like Play-Doh and some brick blocks. But what else? What else does? What can he do?
Group insight.
9, 16.
Sure.
I rolled a 20. I rolled a 20.
Damn, I'm so proud of all of you.
Hey.
So, Trax, you look at him and you think he's full of shit, but Mika, Swanson, and Val, you all see behind his very square jaw and his steely eyes a deep look of terror. This is a man who is cornered and afraid, and not of you.
Austin, are you in love with Calder? I need to know. The documentary crew needs to know.
He's certainly handsome.
Okay.
All right, so I'm looking at him. I'm looking in his eyes, and I'm just like, all right, I'm just trying to say here. Did he sink it with his hand? Oh, you're terrified. Oh, shit. Well, either way, like... Now we know, okay, so you're terrified of Demacus. Now we know that. Cool. Demacus is apparently very powerful. Now we know that also. We can still protect you. You wanna know how I know that?
How?
Because we're the fucking guardians.
I wish that I could believe you.
Well, I rolled a 21 for charisma save, so.
What are you saving again?
What are you saving?
He's saving him with his soul. Charisma. Duh.
Saving against him not believing us. That
yeah,
makes sense.
See? There you go.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
He takes his staff and he raises it. Roll initiative.
God damn it.
Alright, Val and Swanson, who's got the higher dex? I think it's Val and...
I've got 15.
I also have 15.
Val Durr actually rolled an 18.
So
he's gonna get to go first.
After all that.
And he looks at Mika.
What?
And he holds up the staff. And he is going to cast Dominate Person.
What?
Go ahead and give me a wisdom saving throw.
So, you know how we said we were gonna, like, not gut him?
That is
no longer on the table.
Mika, we all agree with you.
Yeah, we're all there.
Let's give me that wisdom saving throw.
10.
That is not enough.
No.
Kaldur is now able to control you. You no longer have the ability to take your turn. Kaldur will do it for you.
Oh, this ain't gonna end well.
I
Swanson,
am
it
going
is.
To kill him.
Apparently you're gonna kill us.
Okay.
Swanson, it is your attack.
I see that Mika has like a weird look in her eyes. And I'm like,
yeah, she like freezes up like a board.
Well, yep, that's not good. All right, stupid wizard staff, you son of a bitch. I'm coming at you. And I pull out my rapier and I leap forward.
All right, go ahead and roll your attack roll.
20.
20 is definitely gonna hit.
And
roll for damage.
All right, so then I also have to roll my sneak attack, which is 2d6. That was a total of 15 damage.
All right, you take a swing at him with your rapier, and because of your swashbucklingness, you manage to get him right across the chest.
Yeah!
Valentine, it is your turn.
I'm just gonna cast Dissonant Whispers on him. So he gets to make a wisdom saving throw, DC 13. And I'm going to give a use a bonus action to give a bardic inspiration to Trax.
Yes. Thank you.
All right, so it is Mika's turn, and I will be taking Mika's turn for her.
You're so fucked.
Mika turns to Swanson.
Yeah, I saw that coming.
What?
Yeah.
And runs right up to Swanson.
Fuck.
And gives a good hearty handshake.
And gives a good hearty dead axe dough.
Oh, shit.
Miss.
It's 12.
My AC is 12.
Yep, so that's gonna hit. Swanson, you take 9 slashing damage.
Oh, son of a... That's gonna leave a mark.
I'm gonna use the diamond crystal as partial cover. Move here, and then I'm going to use my longbow and my dread ambusher on Kelthur. I'm going to use my inspiration on that because that was only a 9. Anyway, does 16? Will 16 work for me?
Yeah, 16 will hit. I don't want. Oh man. Okay.
Fuck.
So it's 10 plus. Wait, I get to roll a d8 because I'm really cool and I have my dread ambusher.
That's not a damage roll. You pulled
a
stop.
You're right. Yeah, I did. But it clicks his damage type. Never mind. I know what I need to do. So 13 plus.
That was a hefty blow.
Kaldura definitely doesn't seem like he's doing too great.
Can he make that concentration save?
That's a nat 20. He is okay.
Oh, that would have been enough damage otherwise, probably.
He is rolling really well. Okay. So Kaldura is up now. Kaldur is going to turn. Oh no. Kaldur is going to cast Scorching Ray. Scorching Ray creates 3 rays of fire hurled at targets within range. You can hurl them at one target or several. Make a ranged spell attack for each ray. On a hit, target takes 2d6 fire damage. And he's actually going to cast this at a higher level. He's going to cast this at 4th level. Which means that creates 2 additional, so 5 balls of fire. So I'm gonna do one at a time. Let's do that. All right, so we're gonna do one at Swanson.
But
okay, so a 15. Will that hit you, Swanson?
Yes.
Damn it.
All right. So that's 2d6.
Oh fuck
man,
off.
This is not gonna go well. He's squishy, but he does damage. Sorcerers.
The glass cannon fires.
All right. That's 7 damage to Swanson.
Damn it. Swanson, how's your health looking?
On the first one.
Oh, it's not looking good.
Second one's a Swanson. That's a 25. I assume that's going to hit.
You're throwing them all at me? You fucking ass.
Well, he's got 5 and only 3 targets.
That's another 7. So that's a total of 14. That's going to take you down, yeah?
I'm also, dead.
You're up in his
okay,
grill.
Swanson is now on the ground. Swanson is unconscious. That being said, he's going to turn to Trax.
I have partial cover, you son of a bitch.
Ooh, what's your regular AC, Trax?
14 is regular.
So that's a 19 now.
That's
okay.
Right, come at me.
Alright, first roll is a 9 plus 7, 16. What was your original AC, 15?
14, so fuck, tie goes to runner.
Yep, that's gonna hit. Okay, so that is going to do 8 damage. Oh shit, he's got 2 more. The 11, that's gonna hit.
11 will not hit me.
Sorry, it rolled an 11.
Okay, how
so,
much? Is,
so an 18
much?
Is also going to hit.
So how much damage?
But he rolled real shitty. That's just 2 damage.
Okay.
And then last one, he's going to turn towards Val. And he's going to shoot one. He's going to shoot one off towards Val. That's going to be a 23 to hit.
Shit.
Yeah, that'll do.
And that's also going to do 2 damage.
Uh-oh.
Okay. There we go. And he maintains concentration. Swanson.
He's unconscious.
He's unconscious.
Swanson, yeah, he's got to make a death saving throw here.
Oh, right, those things.
Well, here goes nothing, I guess. That's a 6.
Cool.
We have one.
So I coughed up a little blood there.
Coughed only up a little organ there.
It's only a little.
All right. Val, it is your turn.
All right. So I got a thing in mind.
Okay.
I'm going to use my bonus action for my tumbling fool. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to charge up diagonally towards the diamond.
Okay.
I'm going to run up the diamond and push off using that momentum to vault over Kaldur. And while I'm over him, I'm going to use my action to drop caltrops around him.
So you're parkouring?
Yeah, I'm 100% parkouring.
I was thinking more like Mario Kart Double Dash.
What a good game.
Jumping in front of him and throwing down the banana.
But I'm going over him. Acrobatics? 12.
That's not enough to cleanly jump over this guy from the diamond, because you got to make it 10. Like, the diamond is 10 feet away from him.
But he's throwing, so that gives him...
Yeah, you can still throw the caltrops. You're just not going to get over him. You're going to land, like, next to him instead.
Okay, well, I'll just roll, because I'm still disengaged from my tumbling fool.
So you're going to roll. Which direction do you want to go?
I'm just going to keep
towards,
rolling. Just keep rolling forward. And, like.
You just do somersaults past him.
Yeah.
And he's like, shit, there's caltrops around me now.
Yeah.
He's a human tire.
All right, so as his friends are dying around him, Valentine... does flippy flips and throws caltrops all around. It is now Mika's turn.
Don't fucking say that like it's actually my fucking turn.
And Mika looks around and sees Valentine trying to pull some shit and steps over Swanson's body.
Technically, Swanson's body is difficult terrain.
Yeah.
Just putting that out there.
I'm good for something.
It costs her double movement to step over his body.
All right, so she
the one time your real Nazi thing comes into...
I'm grasping at straws here.
Ugh, the one time it's useful. All
right, and she's going to swing dead exo, and I believe a 20 is going to hit you.
Yes, it will.
All right, and you're going to take 14 slashing damage.
Ouch.
Well, at least you guys know, you know, you can't take me in a fight, so...
What hit points are you at, Val?
I'm at 8. Wait, yes, 8.
There we go. All right. Trax, it is your turn. He's looking worse for wear here. He's not doing great.
All right.
Is he bloodied?
He's way past bloodied.
Against my better judgment, I'm going to use my bonus action to Hunter's Mark. Continuing my half cover, I'm going to try to attack him with my longbow. And I'll probably miss because I'm being a bad person. Let's see.
You must do what your heart tells you, of course.
And never mind. It's a fucking 14. I just don't hit my life. I'm sorry, everyone. I've let you down.
Okay.
I should have just fog clouded.
Wait,
it's
so...
It's okay.
Trax, was that your only action?
That's all I can do.
They did it. They used their bonus action for Hunter's Mark.
Yeah, it's my bonus for Hunter's Mark.
Oh, and Hunter's Mark only gave you the 1d6. There's nothing else there.
Yeah.
It does. It helps with damage, but that doesn't help if you miss.
That's true.
Welcome to the jungle. We've got fun games.
I mean, you could move around the diamond and get full cover, and then come back out when it's your turn.
That's true. Okay, I'll do that. Oh, but it did.
Are you doing that? You're getting full cover?
Yeah, I'm gonna... Catch me now, bitch.
So, because Trax's arrow missed, Kaldur is actually not really paying attention to them, and instead turns to Val. Kaldur uses Misty Step to get to the far end of the big treasure pile, so Val is about 30 feet away from you, and Trax, he actually came, he's about 20 feet away from you, so he's now within line of sight of both of you. And he looks over at Val, and is going to use Polymorph.
What? He's gonna make me into a T-Rex,
no,
isn't he?
No, he's gonna make himself into a T-Rex.
I'd rather be a T-Rex. Just all things considered, Austin, just putting it out there, should make me into a T-Rex.
Go ahead and make a wisdom saving throw for him.
Ferret. You're gonna be a ferret.
As Valentine has shown many a time, he's very wise. 16.
Kaldur's spell save is DC 15.
Woo! Woo! You did it.
For just a moment, you feel like a kitten.
What an adorable kitten.
And then you're like, nah, not right now.
Later,
not drink
though.
Any brandy this morning. That's usually what it takes to make you feel like a kitten.
And Kaldur, again, he clutches his side. He's definitely not doing well. Swanson, can you give me a death saving throw?
Yeah. I rolled a 5. So, you know, now I'm just kind of shaking a little bit on the ground, and more blood comes out of my mouth.
Oh, no.
My eyes are rolling into the back of my head.
Trax feels like the worst fucking gnome ever.
Valentine, it is your turn.
All right, so first things first, I'm going to cast Healing Word on my buddy, my pal, my friend.
Hello, my baby.
So,
hello, my darling.
Are you... Because Mika is standing directly between you.
Yeah, I know. It means I don't get a tumbling fool to get away from her. I have to do it the old-fashioned way.
Wait, but isn't Healing Word you can do it from far away, so you could move it?
I mean, I can do both, but I'm just saying it'd be more productive. The dash disengage would be more effective getting away from Mika. As a bonus action, and then keep my action for you. But I'm not, because I care about my buddy. I mean, I could stabilize him. I guess I would use my action. Either way, it would be. Swanson has 4 hit points, is the moral of that story.
Nice.
Okay.
Welcome back.
So, cool. So I take a sharp breath, and I sit up, and I cough up blood, and then I'm like, oh, God, I hurt.
And then I'm going to use my action to disengage and dive behind the treasure pile and hope that it keeps me safe.
All right. You move behind the treasure pile, and I'm going to give you half cover.
Okay.
Or three-quarter cover. That's
okay.
All right. So, Mika, it's your turn.
It's Calder's turn.
So, wait, you're going to do.
Thank you.
Sorry, it's
Mika
too fun
to
keep
save.
Doing that.
Oh, man,
can
Austin is sleeping on the
this?
Couch tonight.
It
Noah,
is.
Noah, true words.
All right. For those of you who don't know, Mika and I are married.
We're married.
All right, so let's see what Mika's gonna do.
Divorce you, apparently.
So Mika is raging now. So Mika is going to turn to Swanson. Actually, no. Mika's attention is on Val, and Mika is going to take a few steps towards Val, which will actually, Mika's going to take a few steps towards Val, and Swanson, if you wanted to take an opportunity attack, this would be the time, if you want to take an opportunity attack on Mika.
Is that a thing
you want to do? Like, I cared about you getting gutted.
No, I'm mostly just gonna try to crawl away.
Oh no.
So Mika walks over to is walking over towards Val. Okay, so she's going to climb up over the treasure and is going to lift that axe doe. And I'm gonna give you half cover on this. Because she's not throwing something ranged at you. She's literally on top
of
the treasure.
And
now.
She has the high ground.
She takes a swing, but it's just a 10, so that's gonna swing wildly over your head.
Okay.
You are indeed kind of short.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This is a thing that has been said about me.
And that is that's Mika's turn. Trax, it is your turn.
Alright, I'm gonna move over to the other side of the diamond so I can be closer to Swans, so on my next turn I can heal him. But for now, I will be using my bow and hopefully I can actually hit something. That's gonna be a 16.
That is gonna hit.
Fuck yeah. And then I'm going to do 9 damage, and I'm going to add 1d6 because this is my quarry, plus 3, so that's going to be a 12 to hit. I mean, no, 12 damage, sorry.
All right.
I know how to play D&D, probably.
So this has been a little bit of a messy fight. Valentine's hurt, Swanson's been down, Mika's being controlled by Kaldur, and Trax, you turn to Kaldur, and you draw your arrow back, and this, you've declared him your quarry, and you take a shot, and it hits true right in his chest.
Oh,
Kaldur
yeah.
Falls to the ground, dead.
Beautiful. I do one of those things where you take your fist and you hit it twice on your chest and then you do like a peace sign and look up and like kind of kiss toward the sky. That's what I do. And then after I take a moment and think about pouring one out for the homies, I'm going to go over and actually heal a homie.
Okay, cool.
And Mika, you are now free.
Swanson, I hear you. I heal you for 10 because I used both of my last sweat cell spots.
Oh, bless you.
I loot him after chopping off his head.
Oh, great. What'd you find?
I light an arrow again and aim it back at the star to light it back to where it needs to be.
I like where your head's at.
All right. You light up the candle that sits atop the great star.
Light it up.
And you can see that the great star immediately like reflects the light. You can see it bouncing around inside of the giant diamond, and immediately the room that you're in brightens up, and it's brightly lit as if the sun were shining on it. And you can see through the diamond that the city below has also lit up.
So, nice. Disco party?
Yes. I love how EDM Mika has gotten.
I mean, I'm holding a guy's head, so.
Does EDM stand for, like, extreme deathly mutilation or something?
Extreme death machine.
No, like, I'm down to party.
It's Mika's new band. Mm-hmm. Also, let's take all this treasure back to the people it belongs to, because it definitely was not his.
Can I loot this motherfucker?
Yeah, you can loot him, but the treasure goes back to the people it belongs to.
I'm not.
No, I'm just
that sort of criminal.
Before we get started.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
So as you all look around the room for things, let's see what exactly he's got. Oh, here we go. Okay. So on Kaldur's body, you find his spell book, the Imperial Medallion. There's a potion of invisibility, and then there's an empty flask where you assume there's another one because that's where he appeared from. There is a dagger laced with poison, and in the room you also find a +1 longbow, a bag of holding, the staff of domination, and a ring of evasion.
Okay, well the longbow is clearly mine.
Can I get that dagger though?
I'll take the staff.
What are you doing with the staff?
You're not a magic user. What are you? What?
It doesn't matter what I'm gonna do with it.
Oh, this is.
I snap the staff of domination in half and put it in my back pocket.
Oh shit!
As you snap it,
do that with a magic item.
That's so poetic.
It's. Right. I think RP wise, I'm gonna give it to her and definitely take inspiration on that one as well as Trax. Trax, take inspiration for that magnificent kill. So, Mika, I'm going to let you do it. You snap the staff of domination in half, and sort of a wave of dark energy emits from it and sort of shakes the room and then disperses into nothing.
Perfect.
The red crystal on it does look pretty cool, though.
Oh, no, that shit's mine. Going in my leathers. You know,
just know that when you take the red crystal, it looks almost as if there's a shadow dancing inside of it.
What the
fuck?
Dark
magic. Please break that.
I'm not afraid of that shit. Are you kidding me?
I feel like someone's trapped in there.
They're dumb. Mika, you're keeping it?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Can you at least cover it up? It's kind of unnerving.
Add that to your inventory, please.
Oh, yeah. It's there.
Who's taking the Ring of Evasion?
I think that's a Val.
I mean, I backlined. I mean, I'll take it, but, like, I don't get stabbed at that much.
And then we've got a second Potion of Invisibility.
Hey,
there's
if you don't want
medallion.
The item, I'll take the item. And actually, Swanson should have that item, frankly, if you don't want it.
Which?
Ring of Evasion.
The Ring of Evasion.
I mean, I took the poison dagger because I thought it would come in handy being a rogue and all, but that Ring of Evasion sounds nice as well.
Right, but if Valentine doesn't want it, it's probably
he's probably better off in his hands because he gets stabbed a lot and he can stand to be stabbed less.
This soft-ass wook over here.
You know, I'm doing the best I can.
Let's just say. So Val, you want the potion of invisibility then?
Sure.
All right, it's all you, my dude. All right, how's everyone feeling?
Fucking awesome. I need to murder things.
So you all clear out the room, and you leave the treasure. And Trax, you said that you were going to be making sure that the dwarves get their treasure back, right?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic.
To be fair, this might have just been where this treasure lived. Like, they could have stored treasure up here for all we know. And this is just where it belongs. And they know it's here.
Well, then I'll still be making sure it gets back to whoever's in charge of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
So, I assume you all are going back down to the keep, then?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
As you work your way back down towards the tunnels and such, you enter the hearth, and the hearth looks like you've never seen it before. Great star from above shines down like sunlight on the entire hearth, and the whole place is this warm yellow color, a big contrast from the dark greens and blues you'd seen before. And you can see at the very top of the cavern. You work your way over to the keep, and you're escorted in by a couple of wardens who have very dark brown eyes, not blue eyes. And they walk you into the throne room, where on the throne sits Queen Ruby.
Oh, shit.
And Queen Ruby looks at you and says, "Were you able to do it?"
I bow beneath the throne and hold up the medallion from the cow dumbass.
Did you ask me for it?
I take a bow and I hold up the tooth.
His spear.
Mm-hmm. his staff?
No. The necklace. I have the necklace. Mika has the jewel from the staff.
Oh, I see. There we go.
And the broken staff.
All right. So you present the imperial medallion to Ruby, and Ruby looks at it and says, "The Empire did this?"
It was a emissary from...
Yes, the Empire
King
did it.
Demacus, or... whatever is yeah. coming from here.
He's a sorcerer. It was a sorcerer sent by Demacus.
Demacus was behind this?
As far as we know.
I mean, that's what the dude outside said too, remember?
Yep.
Yeah.
She kind of like looks down and thinks and says, there's much recovery to be done. No. I have many things to consider now that I've become the queen. But this is a terrifying development. And she pulls out a small shield from next to the throne. And Trax, she hands it to you, and she says, "Take this to Aldra Lightfoot of Ravenwood. She'll know what it means."
I will do that. Thank you for trusting us with such a great task.
I would reward you, but all of the wealth of this city is needed to put it back together and to feed the people. But you should know that you can call upon me at any time, and I can, you know, you have the full strength of Red Mountain behind you.
And you have ours.
And my axe.
You don't have an axe, Swanson.
I'm sorry, I'm a little delirious. I meant, and my rapier.
And she bows her head a bit, and all the wardens all take a bow.
And you hear the Star Wars outro.
Except we gave her the medal instead of the other way around.
Aha!
Uh-huh.
Alright, so that's kind of the conclusion of this little... I'm not going to call it an arc, but your first quest. There we go.
Whoa, we get to go back to Ravenwood.
That's hot.
We are going to include a little bit of an epilogue here to this particular quest. So the four of you, victorious, to take a feast with Ruby, Queen Ruby, and you take a night to recover, and you're well rested, and you journey back to Ravenwood. And as the four of you, well, you're still on the road.
Oh.
So Samuel is definitely back at Ravenwood. The four of you journey back to Ravenwood. You work your way down through the mountains and into the great valley of Tarawin. And one day, On the fifth day, as you walk through the Great Valley, all of you begin to feel a shuddering in the earth. And as you look down at the ground around you, the grass slowly turns to sand. As you try and look at each other and get each other's attention, everyone else appears to be just marching on ahead, like they couldn't possibly see you. Each of you feels incredibly alone in this moment. And as the grass begins to turn to sand, you look up and you see the ocean. Suddenly you're on the northern shores of Tarawin, looking out over the water, and an armada of ships approaches, all flying the Imperial flag. As the ships approach, the sand around you begins to melt, and the trees begin to light on fire, and the sky begins to blacken. And suddenly, you're walking in the valley again, as if nothing had ever happened. And suddenly, you hear a pulsing noise. And as this pulsing noise rises, you notice that it's coming from the orb in your bag. And you pull out the orb, and you hear something.
Whoa, is this thing on? Oh, gosh. Okay, there's not a whole lot of time here, and I'm sure you have questions, but just listen close, okay? So, we can use these orbs and symbols to communicate, but it's only one way right now, until you get attuned. So, I saw the same vision you probably just did. Yeah, that was real upsetting. And, well, I need your help. See, things are moving faster than I thought, and, heck. Okay, you need to find the floating tower. There's a Tabaxi in Ravenwood who can help you get there. She'll be wearing a green cloak with a gold brooch. Oh, and make sure to bring...
And the noise disappears.
Wait a minute. Come back.
Make sure to bring what?
What the fuck just happened?
Don't. Wait a second. Hold the phone.
I'm laying down
wait.
On the ground.
Wait.
Fuck. I
know
feel
that.
Sick.
Hold on.
The ground is safe.
Hold on. Fuck. Okay, first of all, terrible at leaving voicemails. Second, I know that cloaked person with the brooch.
Well, who's the person?
That person that the creepy voice is describing is Bria. Someone I used to know way back when. Part of my whole past with the whole, you know, smuggling people out of the Underdark that's been permanently closed and blah, blah, blah. And,
she's saying this like we knew all of this about her before. It's just me from the, like laying on the ground like whispering to everyone like, what's going on?
Okay, so the bottom line is you know the person that the voice was describing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you'll know exactly who we're looking for and we should go find them right now.
100%. All perfect, right. Swanson.
Let's get on that. But also, can we please talk about how weird that just was? Because
oh my god,
everyone tattooed hand high five right now.
Yeah,
this fucking weird.
We have been assaulted.
So you all high five, and your tattoos are glowing super bright, and you continue on towards Ravenwood. That's where we're gonna leave it for today.
I am excited to see what we do in the
Same.
Next leg here.
Same.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
The world's gonna open up a little bit now. You've sort of done your first quest, went to your first location, and now it's about to get a little deeper, a little bit more story driven.
Oof, we're about to go deeper into the rabbit hole.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Dangertown Episode 10. We would like to thank Jared Newman for the use of our theme song. To hear more of his music, check him out on SoundCloud, under soundcloud.com/JaredNewmanSound. Don't forget the sound part, or you'll just find a weird SoundCloud rapper. Thank you again to Thrag the Orc for our amazing art, which you can find on our website, dangertownpodcast.com. Find us on most social medias, and remember, the best kind of an elemental is a gravy elemental. Bye!
I know that elf.
What?
Not an elf either.
Tabaxi. Or... cat. She's a cat person. Tabaxi.
Dude, okay, first of all, talk about bad communication. You said tabaxi. I thought you just spelled taxi wrong. Second of all,
she's a taxi.
Comma, cat person, as in likes cats. Can we just... I can't get over that. Okay.
Hold on. You're laughing at the fact that you thought he said she was a taxi and you were just cool with that. A whole race of people that just like cats is their only defining attribute.